You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.
Just got a new puppy or kitten. Congrats. But also, yikes. Between crates, beds, toys, treats, and those first few vet visits, you've probably already dropped a small fortune. Which is where Lemonade Pet Insurance comes in. It helps cover vet costs so you can focus on what's best for your new pet. The coverage is customizable, sign up is quick and easy, and your claims are handled in as little as 3 seconds. Pro tip, Lemonade offers a package specifically for puppies and kittens. Get a quote at lemonade.com/pet. Your future self will thank you. Your pet won't. They don't know what insurance is.
Why have I asked my electrician I found on Angie.com to bury my pet hamster? I was so moved by how carefully he buried my electrical wires, I knew I could trust him to bury my sweet nibbles after his untimely end.
This is very strange.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
All right, good afternoon, I should say. I almost said good morning. Happy Monday afternoon to everybody here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Brayton Wilson here with you, and also joined by Paul Hamilton here on WGR for filling in for Sabres Live this afternoon here, as plenty of Olympic hockey going on. Not much really going on with the Sabres, but Rasmus Dahlin, Tage Thompson, both very busy over in Milan, Italy right now for the Olympics. First off, Paul, good morning. I got to get good morning out of my head. I'm used to doing this with from 10 to noon with you, so I think that's why I'm all out of sorts. But good afternoon to you.
Well, I always say good morning anyway, so
yeah.
It could be 6 o'clock at night, so, you know, good morning.
Yes. Well, we'll get to plenty of the talk surrounding Tage Thompson, Rasmus Dahlin in a little bit, but just an update for people who may be interested. Team USA on the women's side of ice hockey, they are playing right now in the semifinal round against Sweden. They just scored 2 quick goals, and they're out 4-0 now late in the second period. How much of that tournament have you been watching, Paul?
I really don't get into it because the games normally aren't all that competitive until Canada plays the U.S.
Right.
So I've kind of kept an eye on it, but to watch it, I have not watched a game start to finish at all. I've been basically concentrating on Canada, Sweden, and the U.S. on the men's side. And, you know, I peek in just to see what's going on, but that's about it.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've been trying to keep up on both ends of the spectrum here for the men's and women's over the last couple of weeks here, and yeah, the U.S. women are absolute just wagon. They are so good. They've got speed. They've got skill. They got a little bit of everything, Paul. And I don't think they've given up a goal since have they given up a goal at all? I'm just trying to think off the top of my head if I can remember, just because you know, they looked so dominant against Canada, and they're doing much of the same right now here against Sweden. I mean, they're out shooting them 23-14. It's not like they're out shooting them, you know, 35-3. But they're still playing an incredibly solid game against the Swedes here in the semifinal.
Yeah, and that game in Canada-US, I did see a lot of that game. As I said, I haven't seen one start to finish. But again, it wasn't your typical US-Canada women's game, which is usually, you know, crazy physical and really close and, you know, either team could win type of a thing. It was a basic blowout. I mean, it probably was the most one-sided Canada-U.S. women's game I've ever seen.
Right. I agree. And I've never seen the U.S. go one-sided that much against Team Canada. And U.S. just scored again 5-0 now against Sweden. And actually, it's Haley Skamura scoring the goal. New York native getting the goal to go up 5-0. So Haley Skamura, I think that's her third goal of the tournament, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, she scored 2 in the first game. Mm-hmm. And then Hasn't scored. She's not there to score goals. That's not her role. She never has been. She's always been on the energy line. She always makes the team, and she's always on the energy line. She's not on any other line. She's not on the power play. She'll kill some penalties, and she knows what her role is. She plays it extremely well. And, you know, she'll chip in a goal now and then. And she's got three of them, as I said, two in the first game.
Yeah. Looking back, Paul, I had to figure it out. Team USA has not given up a goal since the opening game against Czechia. And they won that game 5-1. And Czechia scored in the second period at the 28-37 mark. So they haven't given up a goal in the entire tournament since then.
And it's been stingy on the men's side, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at, Binnington let in the goal. He probably wouldn't want it back, but still his goals against in two games are 1.0.
Mm-hmm.
And one has a save percentage of 9.52, and the other has a save percentage of 9.50.
Yeah.
And they both have a goals against of 1.0. So, it's basically, even if they let in a goal, I didn't particularly love the goal Hellebuck let in yesterday. It was the only goal he let in. They haven't had been real busy. I think Binnington had a little harder game than Hellebuck did to start off with. He had to make some pretty good saves in that game. Hellebuck has basically just been there when he's needed to be there and made the saves that he's needed to make.
Real quick, Paul, before we move back to the men's side of things, with the women's team, they've averaged now more than 5 goals a game. And, they haven't given up a goal since that second period of that Czech game, and that includes a 5-0 blowout of Canada. And I believe Canada, let's see, who are they facing later today? Canada is facing Switzerland coming up later at 3:10. So it'll be very interesting to see if the Canadians can get back to the gold medal game and perform any better against the U.S., because I think the U.S. is very solidly going to the gold medal game at this point. All right, Paul, let's transition over to the men's tournament of the Olympics, because it has been very interesting to see how things have played out overall, including with both Sabres prospects Rasmus Dahlin and Tage Thompson. I guess we'll start off just generically. What has maybe taken you most by storm with the way that this Olympics have gone, the first Olympics featuring NHL players since 2014?
I'm not surprised Macklin Celebrini has done so well for Team Canada. He's second in the tournament in scoring. It doesn't shock me at all. I mean, it's just, you know, I wondered how the 19-year-old was going to fare against most of the best players in the world. I'll say most because Russia's not there. But, he's just been great. I mean, he scored in every game. He had a penalty shot goal. He's got 4 goals in 3 games. And he's just been phenomenal. Just kind of picked up where he left off in his NHL season, where some people are putting him in the MVP category, the heart category. So I was really interested to see how he was going to do. And I've really enjoyed watching him play. Mm-hmm. McDavid has just been crazy. I mean, you put him in this spot, it's been insane what he's been able to do. What is it, 2 goals and 7 assists? I think he has 9 mm-hmm. points.
9 points in 3 games.
In 3 games. So, and that's with Crosby playing really well. I mean, Sidney Crosby has been Sidney Crosby, and it just makes me laugh when I see Team Canada and see their 3 centermen.
So, Paul,
I mean, for those of you who like to number lines, which you shouldn't be, but if you do, the leading scorer in the National Hockey League is the third line center for Canada. So,
well,
really, Nate McKinnon's your third line center.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Enjoy, guys.
Well, Paul, get this. So Sidney Crosby just the other day set a new Team Canada record at the Olympics for the highest scoring forward to ever play. 16 points. Connor McDavid in one tournament already is halfway there to beating Sidney Crosby. And mind you, they're still going to keep playing because they're going to keep adding to their totals. But, I mean, I learned that the other day where it was just like Jerome Iginla had the all-time record for NHL players at the Olympics with 14 points. And it shocked me because I was thinking, Sidney Crosby, this is his third tournament. He's got to have more than that, right? No, and I think entering this tournament, he only had like 11 points in the Olympics. And obviously now, you know, he's surpassed that. 10 points, if you factor in. My math is always wrong. But he had 10 points coming into this tournament. Already has 6 points, 2 goals, 4 assists for the 6 points in 3 games. It is incredible that, you know, we've never gotten the chance in the Olympics to see the likes of Connor McDavid, the likes of Nathan MacKinnon play. We've seen Sidney Crosby play, no surprise. But even like Jack Eichel, Austin Matthews, some of these other guys who are some of the best players in the NHL to have not gotten the chance to do it yet. We had to wait 12 years for the NHL to get back to this point to be able to go back. And it almost just begs the question, what was the NHL, the IOC, the IIHF thinking not allowing the players to go? And I know it's mostly an owner's thing for the NHL owners saying, no, we don't want our players to go. But why? Like, it just begs the question continuously of why?
I think it was a negotiation with the Players Association. I think it was part of a negotiation is the reason why. I don't know if it would want would be there. It was like, well, if you're going to get this, we're going to get that type mm-hmm. of a thing. And, you know, it's interesting. Now, Team USA does have 2 players who are in their second Olympics.
Yes, that would be...
because they played as college players last time.
Jake Sanderson and Brock Faber.
Yes, sir. I knew you would know. But, yeah, so they do have 2 guys that are in their second Olympics because they played last time because they were college players. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, right, and they were college players. They didn't have a contract in the NHL. They were... You know, their rights were held, I think, at that point. I think Faber and Sanderson were both drafted at that time. But, yeah, I mean, again, watching the NHL players in the Olympics compared to the last 2 tournaments where the NHL players were not allowed, it is night and day at the level of competition that we see. And we were seeing, you know, teams like the Olympic Athletes of Russia or whatever they were called, you know, for the last 2 tournaments. And then we saw Germany make that run in 2018 in Pyeongchang. And then the last go around was Finland winning the gold medal. And all of those teams did it without NHL players. They did it with professional players in their respective leagues. But the level of competition, I mean, we saw Derek Roy playing in the Olympics with Team Canada at one point when the NHLers couldn't go. Like, that's the level of competition. And that was Derek Roy in upper 30s, maybe pushing 40. Like again, I cannot believe that the NHL or, you know, whoever it was that made this decision, you know, before 2018 to not let them go back to the Olympics and compete. Again, as you mentioned, negotiations, that happens. I get it. But whoever thought was a good idea to not let these guys go back and get eyes glued on the Olympics and get eyes glued on international competition and kind of making this a big thing like they have done this year very well. I just don't get where that did not, those paths didn't, you know, cross, or however you want to put it, how they could not allow them to go back over. It blows my mind still.
Yeah, and I love having the best players there, but what it also does is there have been a lot of games that maybe have been competitive for a half a period, mm-hmm. if that, or a period. There have been a lot of non-competitive games, and, you know, that leads to Connor McDavid having 9 points in 3 games, and he's got another
yeah.
powder puff coming up
yeah.
as he gets the winner of Czechia, Denmark. So, I mean, he's liable to get 3-4 points in that game too, and he might get a semi-powder puff game after that because I think they would get Slovakia, Germany, or France if they, you know, advanced out of that. So they could have 2 more powder puffs coming up. Where Team USA with the second seed, and it's just because of the division, that's the group rather, I should say, mm-hmm. that Sweden was in was so competitive, they wound up the third seed. 3 teams wound up 2-1. That people were asking me, why did Sweden pull their goalie when they were ahead? Because they were trying not to be in third place in their group.
Goal differential
yep. between the 3 teams, which were Finland, Slovakia, and Sweden. So that's why they were trying to do it. They didn't want to be the third seed. Because they're there, the U.S. is the second seed in the tournament, and they have by far the hardest path out.
Absolutely.
Because they likely are going to face Sweden.
Mm-hmm.
And that is tough.
And Sweden should have played better in the group play as well.
Right. Well, they were 2-1.
Yep.
And they lost to Finland rather handily, which allowed Finland to get in there.
Mm-hmm.
Finland was the second seed. Slovakia, by scoring that goal that made the game close against Sweden, got the number one seed because of it. That's why Sweden pulled their goalie.
Yeah.
To try to get that out of there. But, you know, so here's the U.S. with the second seed. I mean, Slovakia will face the winner of Germany, France. Finland gets, who is the best second place team, gets the victor of Switzerland and Italy.
Mm-hmm.
And the U.S. has to sit there and probably play Sweden. And if they win, we'll probably have to play Finland.
Yeah.
And it's just the way it worked out. I'm not complaining. I'm not saying it's not fair or anything else. It's the way that goofy group wound up seeding because of that Slovakia win to lead off the tournament.
Yeah.
And it put Sweden down into third place. And here are the U.S. I mean, the U.S. It would be favored in both games, but they could lose either game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, especially if a hot goaltender shows up.
Right.
But Sweden's not the worst team in the world. I mean, yeah, Sweden comes and plays their best. U.S. could maybe be in trouble. It's circumstances that made them the second seed, but they by far have the hardest route to a gold medal matchup if they get there.
Right. And I mean, the U.S. had the easiest path probably to a top seed in the tournament facing Germany, Latvia, and Denmark. Yeah. I mean, probably the best team after the United States was Latvia, and the U.S. handled them pretty easily. Canada's route was a little tougher. I mean, Switzerland's a good team. Czechia is certainly a tough out. And then you have France, who probably is one of the teams that doesn't make the tournament if you have Russia and probably Belarus able to qualify for the Olympics, but they've obviously been barred from competition because of their conflict with Ukraine. And then, I mean, the one thing, Paul, that I'm going to say, and it didn't matter because Group B was a wagon itself, but enough with
studies show that 100% of everybody in the world wants to curl up indoors and do nothing because it's so darn cold out there. That's why many people are turning to Bombas, whose pillowy plush slippers and warm merino wool socks have been said to be the most comfortable in the history of feet. Bombas products have been found to boost coziness by up to 1,000,000%. Okay, enough fake statistics, but could Bombas socks and slippers really be the cure? Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code audio.
Just got a new puppy or kitten. Congrats. But also, yikes. Between crates, beds, toys, treats, and those first few vet visits, you've probably already dropped a small fortune, which is where Lemonade Pet Insurance comes in. It helps cover vet costs so you can focus on what's best for your new pet. The coverage is customizable, sign up is quick and easy, and your claims are handled in as little as 3 seconds. Pro tip, Lemonade offers a package specifically for puppies and kittens. Get a quote at lemonade.com/pet. Your future self will thank you. Your pet won't. They don't know what insurance is.
Why have we asked our contractor we found on Angie.com to be our kid's legal guardian? Because he took such good care when redoing our basement that we knew we could trust him to care for our kids, all 8 of them, should something happen to us.
Are you my dad now?
No, sorry, I do basements.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
The tournament, having the host nation take part in the men's hockey competition. Italy has no place being in a tournament like this.
It's been like that forever.
I
had that as a kid.
It's insane.
I remember we had a national tournament in Rochester. Rochester was in our league. I mean, so, you know, we had won the sectionals in the States. Rochester had no business being in the national tournament.
Yeah.
There they were because they were the home team. And it was – so that's been as old as I am, and even in kids hockey.
This is the best international competition in the world. If you want to play on the best international stage, you have to compete for it. And you give credit to France. You give credit to Denmark. You give credit to Latvia. Germany, too. They all had to qualify to get to that stage. They got there. To just hand Italy a spot because they're the host nation – Get out of here. Just no. Italy had no place in this tournament. I mean, they somehow made it competitive against Sweden. They didn't really have much of a chance against Slovakia or Finland. And, Yeah, they're probably going to get run out of the building when they face Switzerland. They're going to get run out of the building.
That doesn't bother me as much as over the years sitting there watching a gold medal be decided by a shootout.
I just wanted to
set myself on fire watching that. It was just like, are you kidding me? So I would rather have Italy in the tournament than watching a shootout to decide a gold medal. Now, I understand in the NHL, you know, if you're in the building, shootouts, the fans get into it. I don't know if they like it or they don't or how they would react. So I'm always like, if the fans like it, doesn't matter if I do or not, you should do it. The NHL should always do what the fans want. And then, but they drop that once they get into the playoffs. And, all right, you have the fun in the regular season, which sometimes you get some garbage points out of it that do affect the playoff race. But, to decide a championship on a shootout, I mean, if the Super Bowl is tied and then in overtime it's still tied, what are they going to do, set up garbage cans in the end zone and have the quarterbacks throw at garbage cans?
Mm.
Is that – it's the same thing.
Yeah. I mean, I'm personally a proponent of getting rid of shootouts in the NHL. I think they're too gimmicky. They've become too gimmicky. And
well, I agree, but fans seem to do. I mean, when you're there, fans are into it.
Yeah, I guess.
But I agree with you. I don't like it. I'm a purist, but I've always kind of relented because, as I said, I've sat in the building of a lot of shootouts, and the fans do seem to enjoy it.
Well, here's. I know we're getting a little off topic from the Olympics talk, Paul, but I do want to bring this up because in the NHL, the shootouts have gotten gimmicky and teams more so want to play the possession game. And when they don't want to shoot the puck or they don't have the lanes to shoot the puck, they just decide to skate laps around the ice. They'll skate back to the neutral zone or even skate back into their own end, or even in some cases pass back to the goaltender so they can continue the puck possession. I mean, personally, if I'm me, I bring back ties, and if the team's tied after a 5-minute or a 10-minute overtime, whatever they want to negotiate in terms of how to put out a winner out there, if they can't score, neither team should get a point in the overtime period. You want to create some urgency from these teams, from the players, to get the game-winning goal, to find a resolution to the game, a win, a loss, whatever. But if you can't find a way to score in a 10-minute time frame, a 5-minute time frame, I don't think there should be a tie point. You bring back the ties, but don't bring back the point.
Well, you know this better than I, because you used to be with Jeremy White and Howard Simon for a long time. How many years has Jeremy White talked about 3-point wins?
He's still talking about it. I'm still talking about it. I'm absolutely a proponent of
the 3-2-1. So you know exactly what he's been, the campaign he's been on.
Yeah, but this is the whole no point awarded after a tie thing is certainly something that I'm going to continue to strive for, just because you want to bring some urgency to these games. Get these games more exciting once they hit overtime. They should be exciting. Don't play for a tie. Don't play for a shootout, because it's gimmicky. I understand the puck possession point. Whoever has puck possession, whoever's trying to go out there and do more to win the hockey game, absolutely. But at the same point, when you're skating around in circles, when you're not firing pucks on net, when you're just – there's no chances being generated, that's boring. That's boring. Generate some urgency and some fun in a game. Make ties be almost a punishment, I guess. But then, you know, people would say, well, why not just have the shootout? And it's just like, because, again, the shootout point is just ridiculous. I don't like shootouts, and I just think if, even then, create some sort of way to complicate matters with the standings. I know a lot of people like to do that with other things, but I think if you do that and a team ties, two teams tie, no team gets awarded a point after that game, then... oh, man, look at that. We played for a tie. What is that worth? Oh, yeah, the other team behind us, they just got 3 points and a win. That would wildly swing things in those standings, and I think that would be fun. I think that would be great for hockey.
I would. By the way, I'm going to just apologize to people. I do have a rather large cold here. I don't have a cough button, so I'm trying not to cough into the microphone, but if you hear me, I do apologize with that.
Apology accepted, Paul.
Yeah, I get a chance to have a little time off, and what do? I get probably the worst cold I've had here, so it's great, but hey, that's all right. I'm here anyway.
Eh, we appreciate you being here. 803-0550, 1-888-552-550 are the numbers. If you would like to chime in with your thoughts on what you're seeing from the Olympics, how maybe you see something from the Olympics, Olympics that you would like to bring to the NHL level or vice versa, something from the NHL that you feel the Olympics should bring in and make it more fun and entertaining. We're more than happy to take your phone calls at 803-0550. I'll save the Thompson-Dahlin talk a little bit, Paul, for when we go into the next segment. But let's look ahead to the qualifying games that are going to be taking place, the first round of the playoff games. You know, four games in action: Germany, France, Switzerland, Italy, Czechia, Denmark, and Sweden and Latvia. Of those matchups, Paul, which one intrigues you the most as maybe one that's of upset caliber?
Maybe Latvia over Sweden. Maybe, as I said. they're all have the potential to be clunkers.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's the thing. With NHL players in this tournament, you're going to get clunker games. You're going to get quite a few of them until you get probably, you know, into the quarterfinals on Wednesday. Then I think you might have some better games to watch. Not the best games. I don't think the best games are going to come our way until the semifinals. But and that's when they're really going to be tight, and they're really going to be – that's why, you know, Connor McDavid has been 9 points in three games, and he's got maybe two more Powder Puff games coming. Then I don't know if he's going to be getting 3 points a
right.
game.
Yeah.
I mean, we may be watching 2-1 games after that. I mean, look at – when Sidney Crosby scored the overtime goal against Ryan Miller, how tight that game was.
That was a great game.
Yeah, it was a great game, but it wasn't 6-5.
No, no.
I mean, you know, it was two really good teams going at each other, and as good as I think Team USA is, and I think Matthews has stepped up to the plate. I mean, that Sabre game he played, he had 3 points, and I still watched him. I go, he just is not into this game. But he's so good, he can get points when he's not into the game. I just thought his body language is just blah. But now I think he's shown up. I think Eichel and Matthews have been the best players for Team USA. But when you're talking about McDavid, Crosby, and MacKinnon down the middle for Team Canada, we haven't talked about anybody else. Just what they have down the middle.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. You know, Binghamton has, you know, over the years shown up in the big time. He's been awful. I mean, his numbers are almost some of the worst in the NHL this year. Now, I wasn't real into his second game. I didn't think he played all that well in that one, but he still only let in two. But he just seems to come up big when he's out there for Team Canada or when he's trying to win the Stanley Cup for the St. Louis Blues, when he came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I mean, he wasn't even in the he was in the organization, but the organization had loaned him out to another team. And then he wasn't even on their AHL team.
Yeah.
And then they're in last place in January. I remember that because Buffalo had just been there. Buffalo might have been the game that was their first one to get them that turned it around. And I remember Binghamton was in the locker room, and I saw number 50, and I'm thinking, who's this? You know, I'm looking on the sheet type of a thing. And next thing you know, he backbones them to a Stanley Cup, he and Ryan O'Reilly. So the guy does show up in the key spots, but he is also has the potential to be a big problem for them.
So I'll give you my team and who I think could be a potential upset. I'm thinking Denmark has a really good chance against Czechia. And here's why. Denmark got a win yesterday over Latvia. They played Freddie Anderson, who obviously plays for the Carolina Hurricanes. And when Freddie Anderson is on top of his game, he's one of the best goalies in the world. And it's so amazing because when he's healthy and he's playing on top of his game, he's unstoppable. Then there are other times where he gets hurt and then has to miss some action, or he just hits a lull and is not good at all.
I've never loved him in the playoffs.
I know.
I've liked a lot of his regular seasons, but I've never loved him in the playoffs.
Right, which makes it so interesting because, you know, especially, you know, with a tournament like the Olympics, anything can happen. Anything can happen at any given point. So if Freddie Anderson is good for Denmark and can shut the door, I mean, Czechia has the likes of David Pastrnak. They have Marty Nečas. They have Tomáš Hertl. But other than that, you know, their offense is kind of far and few between. They got shut out by Canada in the opening game. They beat France, which that's kind of a given. And then they lost in overtime to Switzerland. Czechia is beatable. And I think if Denmark can find a way to get some goal scoring from Nikolaj Ehlers or Oliver Bjorkstrand or some of these other younger guys that they have on their roster, and then they get the goaltending from Freddie Anderson, I think they got a chance to at least upset Czechia. I mean, they upset Canada last year at the World Championships. Like, that was one of the biggest wins in their, arguably the biggest win in their nation's history. And if they're able to do that again and have a solid performance, I think they can upset Czechia and have a chance to play in the quarterfinals.
Well, regular season, Freddie Anderson has to show up.
Yep.
There's no question about that. And, I wouldn't say that's not possible. No. I mean, yeah, certainly that would be possible. I would say, if you ask me who do I think is going to win the game, I would say Czechia, yeah, but I wouldn't say Denmark's out of it by any means. It'll be interesting to see how that one goes down.
803-0551-888-550-2550. A quick update from the U.S.-Sweden women's semifinal game. Third period action is underway. The U.S. still up 5-0. Haley Skamura, Western New York native, scoring a goal in that one. We'll step aside, take a timeout. When we come back, we'll continue our Olympics talk with the latest thoughts from Paul on the play of Tage Thompson and Rasmus Dahlin, as both of them are getting ready to move on from group play. Sweden is going to have to play in the qualifying playoff game, I guess you could say. And then obviously Tage Thompson in the U.S. getting the first round of those playoffs off. And then they will await the winner of Sweden and Latvia. Your phone calls are welcomed. 803-0551-888-550-2550. And you're listening to WGR.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans. And the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.